The last couple of weeks we've been talking about Bishul B'Shabbos, different halachas related to Bishul B'Shabbos. So last time we were discussing klisheni a little bit further. So before we move on to other issues related to Bishul B'Shabbos, I'd like to just finish that discussion of klisheni with one final point. We were talking about different items that you're allowed to cook in a klisheni, other items that you can't cook in a klisheni. But there's a major discussion in the poskim about making tea on Shabbos. A very important question that relates to some of the issues that we talked about. What's the issue of making tea? So the normal way to make tea is to pour boiling water onto it. Very few people make tea in a kli rishon itself. Some do, but in most circumstances, if it's not a commercial establishment, we're going to make tea by pouring from a kli rishon onto it. So that's a shaila, because we said that irik kli rishon is a machlokas in the rishonim, whether it's dino kli rishon or dino kli sheni, or maybe it's mevashel kli klipa. So even if it's mevashel kli klipa, it's mevashel a little bit, but that's also going to be a problem of bishul. So to pour onto tea leaves directly on Shabbos, that would be a problem. That's a problem of bishul, maybe even bishul deraisa. So you'd imagine maybe we should do it kli sheni. Just put the boiling water into a cup, and then you put the tea leaves, the tea bag, into the cup. Yeah, but we said that kali habishul can cook in a kli sheni. So that's the question. Should we view tea leaves as kali habishul, that they're easy to be cooked? They're similar to items that are easily cooked, like we discussed, pas, and other things. Or should we say maybe it's not kali habishul, and then you can actually make tea in a kli sheni? So they say, Reb Chaim felt that you can make tea in a cliche, because it's dino ketavlin. The tea leaves, he felt, are dino ketavlin, they're like spices, and the Gemara says, Beferish, the tavlin are not kali abishal, you can put tavlin into a cliche. The Rav Paskin, like the Zayda, Reb Chaim, the Rav felt that you can make tea in a cliche, that's what he would say, that's how he passed it in his kehila. I imagine members of his kehila still do this, that they make tea in the cliche, because they assume the tea is like tavlin, and the Gemara says beferish the tavlin is not kali habishul. We said there's a whole stuff. What is kali habishul? And we'll machmir for many items to assume that they might be kali habishul, and you shouldn't cook them in a klisheni. But the Gemara says beferish tavlin is not kali habishul. Reb Chaim felt if the Gemara says it, so we don't have to be more machmir than the Gemara. So therefore, you can make tea in a klisheni. Many disagree. There are many posts that disagree who say that tea really should be kali habishul. Really is a chashash that it's kali abishal. Aye, but the Gemara says that tavlin is not kali abishal. So they quote Rav Shlomo Zalman once said that maybe what the Gemara means that tavlin is not kali abishal, they were talking about large pieces of tavlin. They used to have like cinnamon sticks or ginger sticks or something like that. So if it's a large piece, it could be it's not kali abishal, it's a big piece. But tea leaves, you know, or powdered tavlin like we have nowadays, to say that powdered tavlin is not kali habishul, it's not going to cook quickly. It has very, very, the surface area of the powder, right? It gets nivla into the boiling water very, very quickly. And chora, one could say that maybe it's not kali habishul. It's not the tavlin of the Gemara. It's not the tavlin of the Gemara, perhaps. The Rav obviously assumed differently. But maybe one could say that if the tavlin is very thin, the Gemara never meant to tell us that tavlin is not kali habishul. Maybe it is kali habishul. So many are machmir not to make tea in a klisheni, because if we assume that there's a chashash, maybe the tea is kali habishul, so then you really shouldn't make it in a klisheni. So what are the options? So some suggest maybe make it in a klishlishi. He said the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gavin, who assumes that a kli shlishi is more kal than a kli sheni. And we said, what's the difference if it's yatzo lettuce bowl, so there might not be kamina between a kli sheni and a kli shlishi, it's all the zel bazach. So we said, no, that if the whole point is that kli sheni is different than a kli rishon because it's ain't dark or levashel bekach, that normally you don't cook in a kli sheni. But kale abishel, you normally do cook in a kli sheni, but one could say that in a kli shlishi, it's so far removed, no one's going to cook in a kli shlishi. You never do such a thing. It's a strange thing to do, to pour the hot water from the main kedera into the kli sheni, and then pour it into another cup. Who does that during the week? So if you don't do it during the week, so maybe you could say that it's ain't derech bishul lekach, it's a shinui gomer, maybe chazal, when that goes around. That's what we suggest. It's what the Prima Gadim says, that Kli Shlishi is not like Kli Sheni, and you could cook in a Kli Shlishi. You could put things in a Kli Shlishi. Yeah, yeah, that's what the Prima Gadim says. The question is whether it should apply to tea. There's a comment that the Aruch HaShulchan has. The tea, he says, we see that tea is misbashel very quickly. We see that the tam of the tea is niflat very quickly in boiling water, even in a Kli Shlishi. So he felt that we shouldn't be mekel even in a Kli Shlishi. Not everyone is machmer for this. There are some who make tea in a Kli Shlishi. As long as you have a Kli Shlishi, it's fine. But some say that maybe for tea, you shouldn't be mekel for Kli Shlishi because it cooks even in a Kli Shlishi. It cooks so quickly in a Kli Shlishi, so therefore maybe you should be machmer even in a Kli Shlishi. Chora, based on the svara that we had, that a Kli Shlishi is more kal than a Kli Sheni because it's ain derech levashel b'kach, it doesn't matter that in a Kli Shlishi it cooks more quickly, it's still a Shinu Gamer. So if you're going to work with the Shinu Gamer Svara, seems like you should be able to be Mako for a Kli Shlishi, to put the tea into the Kli Shlishi. What does the Mishnah Berurah say that you should do by tea? He wasn't considering the option of a Kli Shlishi, even though on the very next page he quotes the Prima Gadim. So the Mishnah Berurah suggests two possibilities. He says what you should do is you should make a tea essence before Shabbos, meaning pour boiling water over the tea leaves before Shabbos. So you've cooked the tea leaves. Now there's water that has been cooked before Shabbos that's collected in some kind of a kli. And then he said there are two options to use this essence. Either you can keep the essence hot. Some do this, that they keep the essence in some kind of a kettle, and then they'll pour that kettle into another cup. So if you keep the essence hot, then there's no bishul achar bishul bechalal. It's still mevushel. It's not in the gamri, and it's still mevushel. So you'd be able to pour this boiling essence into other liquid that's not even hot. You can just have a cup of water and pour a little bit of this concentrated essence into the cold water. Even though the water has not been. I take that back. Just one second. You can't pour the boiling water. You can't be ma'areh from a kli rishon. If you pour it onto, no, you'd be able to pour directly into this liquid. That's what it is. But even if this is boiling, so then you'd be able to pour cold water into this mixture. No. You'd be able to pour boiling water into this mixture. That's the finish. You'd be able to pour boiling water into this mixture. But iri kli rishon is mevashel for the klipa. No, but ein bishel achar bishel. If this essence is still hot, then you'll be able to pour boiling water onto this essence. Meaning, you could put a little bit of essence into a kli, a little bit of this essence into a kli, and you'll be able to pour boiling water onto this essence as long as it's still hot, because this essence was nisbashel from before Shabbos. So if it's lo nistan in lagami, we pass me that ein bishel achar bishel bedavar lach. The other option is if you don't want to keep it hot, you know, if you leave it overnight, it's going to cool down completely. It's going to cool down to room temperature. Even if you don't want to leave it hot, but you should be able to pour boiling water into a kli sheni, and then put the essence into the kli sheni for sure. The problem of putting the tea leaves into the kli sheni is because the tea might be kali abishol, so you'll be mevashel it in the kli sheni. But there's certainly no problem of bishel of water in the kli sheni. So if all you have is the water from the essence, that's certainly not a problem. Right? Even if the water is not this bashel, as long as you put it into a kli sheni, that's not a problem, even if the kli sheni is very hot. But even if you had the tea leaves in there, it's also not going to be a problem. Because since the tea leaves have been cooked already, so putting them into the kli sheni is not going to be an issue. So those are the two options the Mishnah Berurah has. And if you keep the essence hot, then you'd even be able to pour onto the essence. To pour onto the essence from a kli rishon, but if you cool it off, if it's nistan legamri, then at least you'll be able to put the essence into a kli sheni, and that's what a lot of people do. They have an essence with like a bunch of tea bags. They make like a tea from before Shabbos. They put it in a cup with like four or five tea bags. It's a very concentrated essence, What most people do is they don't pour the boiling water onto the essence, but rather they pour boiling water into a klisheni, and then they put some of the essence into the klisheni. And that's not a problem, because you're not actually making the tea with the tea leaves themselves. You're simply adding the essence to the klisheni, and that's certainly not an issue. It's certainly not an issue, because water is certainly not going to be mizbasha in the klisheni. If all you're putting in is the water from the essence, then that's going to be... Okay, this concludes our discussion of Bishul on Shabbos, per se. There are many Gzeiros D'Rabbanan that Chazal added that look like Gzeiros of Bishul, but they actually come to prevent someone from doing Melach in general, not just Bishul. But this is a very important addition to the discussion of Bishul B'Shabbos. Let's talk about one of these Gzeiros. The first gezeira, the Rabbanan, related to Bishul, is called Shehiya, leaving a pot on the fire on Shabbos. Now, leaving a pot on the fire on Shabbos is not Bishul. Right? We paskin that Shvisas Kelim is mutter. Right? There's no din of Shvisas Kelim on Shabbos, meaning I'm not mitzuva to ensure that my Kelim are not going to do melacha on Shabbos. As long as I don't do malacha, or someone else that I'm in charge of, my kids are not going to do malacha, avodim of mine are not going to do malacha, that's no problem. So as long as I put the kli, as long as I put the kedera on the fire from before Shabbos, there's no malacha of bishul, per se. Right? I can't be mevashel if I don't do a maisa bishul. If I don't put the food on the fire, I don't connect the food to the fire, there's no iser of bishul. Beshamai holds of Shvisas Kalim. So they would say, in that Torah, there's a problem over here. If your Kalim are cooking, even if you didn't cook, you put it from before Shabbos, but if the thing wasn't cooked completely, Beshamai would say, Gevald, it's terrible. It could be an Issa der Isa Bishul. But we passed in like Beis Hillel that there's no din of Shvisas Kalim. So what's the problem? Why were Chazal goes there? They prohibited that you can't do Shehiyah, you can't leave a pot on the fire on Shabbos. The answer is, Chazal were not afraid of Bishul, they were afraid, Shema Yechata B'Gechol. That if you put a pot on the fire with food that hasn't been, if you put a pot on the fire from before Shabbos with food that has not been cooked yet, we're afraid that you might stoke the coals in order to get the pot to be cooked more quickly. So the problem is not one of Bishul, but rather Havara, that we're afraid that you'll stoke the coals and cause them to light up, to get stronger. So because of that, Chazal said that you're not allowed to put a kedera of food on the fire from before Shabbos if it's not fully cooked. Well, we'll see. I shouldn't say fully cooked. If it hasn't been cooked to a certain level, we were still concerned that Shemi Yechata Begafolim, so there's going to be an issue. And the post can point out that this applies even Bizman Hazeh, even though we don't have Gecholim, we don't have coals. We have electric stoves, we have gas stoves, gas range. So this applies there too. There are knobs on the stove that you can raise and lower, and there's a problem that if you put something on the fire from before Shabbos, if the food has not reached a certain level of cooking, so then we're afraid that you'll be mechata b'gecholim, meaning you'll turn the knob in order to raise the temperature so that the thing will cook better. The question is, what, it's also to put anything on the fire from before Shabbos? What's the level that has to be cooked that we're not going to be gozer anymore? So that's a major machlokas tanoim at the beginning of the third parak in the Sefer Shabbos. The shita of Chananya, famous shita of Chananya. Chananya says as long as it's mevushal kamachal ben derusai, it's not a problem of shehiyah. You can put it on the fire because as long as someone would eat it, we said ben derusai was a ganav who was always eating on the run, so. You know, even if his food was a third cooked or a half cooked, so that was enough for him. So even though most people wait until it's cooked more than that, but b'shas adchaka can be eaten that way. So Chananya holds that as long as you cook it enough that someone can eat it, it is edible, so then we're not afraid that you're going to stoke the coals. Not afraid. You'll just let it continue cooking until it's mevushal completely. Right? But you're not going to stoke the coals. That's the opinion of Chananya. And the Chachamim argue, the Chachamim say that even if it's Mevushal Kamacha Ben Yosai, we're still afraid until it's Mevushal Kol Tzarko, until it's completely cooked, and it's even Mitzstamek V'ralo, meaning it's Mevushal Kol Tzarko to the extent that if it continues cooking, it's going to get ruined. It's not like a Cholent, that's still what we call Mitzstamek V'yofilo, that even though it's Mevushal Kol Tzarko, but if you keep it on the fire, it's going to get richer, the tam is going to get better, you know. A Friday night cholent is great. It's nothing like a Shabbos day cholent. It's really, it's been cooking, overnight. So as long as it's mitzdamek v'yofalo, the Chachamim said that it's still a problem. Right? First of all, even though it's mevushal machman, you say that's not enough. It has to be mevushal kol tzarko. But that's not even enough either. It has to be mevushal kol tzarko to the extent it's so completely cooked that it's mitzdamek v'yofalo, it's going to be bad for it. If it's not so completely cooked, then the Chachamim would say that there still is a problem of shehiyah. There still would be a problem of shehiyah. And this is a machlokas ladina. Machlokas Rishonim had a paskin, like which one of the Tanaim? The Mechaber in Siman Reish and Gimel Sif Aleph quotes both opinions, that either waiting until Machaber ben Yisrael is enough, or you need Mevushal Kol Tzarko and Mitzdamek V'Ralim. The Ramah says the minig is to be made. Minig is to be made, that as long as it's Mevushal Machaber ben Yisrael, there's no problem with Shehiyah, you can put the food on an open flame. But the Mishnah Berurah says, not so fast. The Mishnah Berurah says that the Ramah meant that b'di'evit, if you did it, it's not going to aser the food. L'chatchila, you shouldn't do such a thing. L'chatchila, you really should be machmir for the Rabban. That's how the Mishnah Berurah says. So, that's going to create a big chumar for us. Right? Because how many things are really mitzdamek v'ralo at the beginning of Shabbos? It's completely cooked, and it's so cooked that it's going to get ruined if it stays on the fire longer. It's tamar not, right? Most things are not like that. So if we're going to assume that shehi is a problem, you can't put something on the fire until it's mistamek viralo, so what are you supposed to do? What do you do? How can you put something connected to a heat source so that it'll stay warm? So the Mishnah, the beginning of Perek here in the third Perek of Shabbos, the Mishnah has two suggestions, very, very important principles. They're called Gara v'Kotu, Grifa and Ketima. Grifa means to shovel out the coals. Take the coals out. If the coals are out, so then Shemi Yechata B'Gachom doesn't apply. We're not afraid you're going to stoke the air. You can only stoke a coal. So if you take the coals out, then there's going to be a problem. Now, grief is not going to help us too much because we don't have coals. So what is grief for us? Turning off the stove. But we don't want to turn off the stove. If you turn off the stove, then you don't have any heat source anymore. So grief is not going to help us too much. But the Mishnah also says that Ketima can help too. What is Ketima? Ketima means you can leave the coals there, but you cover them over. You cover them over with like some ash, something, some dirt, some ash, to lower the heat of the coals. That's what ketima is. That they would cover over the coals with some afer, with some ash that's not going to burn anymore. So that's what the chachamim require of you in order to do shehiyah. If the food is not at the level where shehiyah is mutter on an open flame, Chazal say that if you do ketima, then it's going to be permissible. The question is, what does Ketima accomplish? So some of the Rishonim suggest that what Ketima does is it's a heker, it's a symbolic gesture, it serves as a reminder that you shouldn't come to stoke the coals. Others say, no, it shows that you're Mesiach Das from this fire, that you don't really have Das on the fire anymore. Because you put the Afer on top of the coals, and now the Afer is going to reduce the temperature of the coals, so that shows that you're Mesiach Das from this flame. You're not really thinking. You want the food, but you don't care about the flame anymore. There are two different approaches that the Rishonim have. That either it's just a heker ba'alma, it's a recognizable symbol to remind you not to stoke the coals. Or no, it's more than that. It's that you're showing that you're Mesiach Das from the flame. The nafkamina is whether you can use what we call a blech. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but there's something called a blech. It's like a metal piece, a metal sheet that many people with a gas range use. If you have a glass cooktop, you can't put a blech on top of that. It'll crack the glass. But, you know, if you have a gas range with the burners, so you put the metal piece, the flat metal piece on top of it, covers over the fire. You can cook on top of the metal piece, put a pot straight on top of the metal piece. But that's ketima. That's covering the fire. So the question is, does it really serve as ketima? So if we assume that the purpose of the ketima is to be a heker, to be a recognizable symbol, and you shouldn't be mechata v'gacholim, chora, our blech is great, right? It serves as a heker, it's a reminder not to stoke the coals. But if you assume that the purpose of the ketima is to show that you're mesiach das from the fire, that because you've put something onto the coals that reduces the flame and reduces the heat of the coals, that shows that you don't really care so much about the fire anymore, our blech might not necessarily work. Because our blech doesn't reduce the strength of the fire at all. it's at the same level. It's at the same level. It goes, you know, the metal conducts. It conducts the heat, so it's really pretty much at the same level that it was before. The Chazon Ish felt that a blech does not work. There are people in Eretz Yisrael who are makbir that they never use a blech because the Chazon Ish felt that the blech doesn't work. He was following those shittas in the Rishonim that say that it has to reduce the temperature, and if the blech doesn't reduce the temperature, then it's not going to work. What do you have to cover? I mean, the blech covers the fire, but you know there are some blechs that actually can cover the knobs too. They used to have stoves that the knobs were on the outside of the stove. I think a lot of stoves now the knobs are on the top. Right, so depending on what the burners look like, you have to make sure that it'll be above the knobs, and make sure if the knobs are made out of plastic, you shouldn't put the blech on top of the knobs literally because you'll melt them. You have to be careful. You have to be careful with the practical things. But what exactly do you have to cover? So first glance, you'd say that you have to cover the knobs because that's where you're mechatur b'chol. So Rav Aaron Kotel Shita. The Rav Aaron felt that covering the knobs is necessary and sufficient. Rav Moshe felt that you have to cover the fire. Maybe you have to cover the knobs too, but he felt covering the knobs is not going to be enough. You have to cover the fire because the Gzeirah Rabbanan was to cover the fire. So even though you're mechata, not the makom ha'esh, you're mechata by the knobs, Rav Moshe felt that you must cover the esh. So some make a blech that covers both. It covers both the knobs and the fire. If you can't use the same blech because of where the knobs are, you can cover the fire with the blech. You can use aluminum foil to cover the knobs if you want. You know, liyasa se'es, if you want to cover the knobs too. You can take the knobs off. It's also another way to have the hecker with the knobs to make sure that you're not going to be mechata with the foam. But all this has to be done because of the gzeirah shehiyah, because we're afraid that a person is going to raise the fire. Raise the fire. If it's not, it's tamik v'ralo. Even if it's mevushal kol tzarko, we're afraid that he might raise the fire. So therefore, we have to cover something to create some kind of a hecker so that he's not going to raise the fire. And some people prefer not to cook on the stove on Shabbos b'chol. What they do is they have a non-adjustable hot plate. I think that's probably much more common in our circles. It used to be that the blech was a very common thing, but then we got smarter, and we created hot plates and other contraptions that maybe we'll talk about as time goes on. But the hot plates. So what's the din of the hot plate? Let's say it's an adjustable hot plate. So if it's an adjustable hot plate, l'chora, there's no room to be makel any more in a hot plate than in a regular stove, because if it's adjustable, then we should be afraid that you might be mechata b'dechol. But what's the din of a non-adjustable hot plate? If Moshe wanted to say that maybe on a non-adjustable hot plate, one doesn't need a blech. You can do shahiyah directly on the hot plate itself. Why? Because first of all, it's not normal to cook on the hot plate. It's not really normal to cook on the hot plate. The hot plate is really meant just to heat up the food. It doesn't get to such a hot temperature. If it got very hot, so then it would be normal to cook on the hot plate. But Rav Moshe says that our hot plates do not, the hot plates in his time, I guess it depends in every circumstance, but if the hot plate is meant just to heat up the food on Shabbos, it probably doesn't get to a very high temperature, so it's not normal to cook on that surface. What's more, he says there's no chashash of chitui if it's not adjustable, because you can't do anything to it. You can't raise the temperature. So for both these reasons, he says that a non-adjustable hot plate, you could be mekel to do shahiyah on. There are other poskim who assume that maybe a taka is a problem since it's an open flame, that the metal surface is the heating surface, so maybe you should be machmir, never to have an open surface. You have to put something strange, right, a hecker on top of that surface, or some put a piece of aluminum foil on, because they're more machmir. But l'chora, Rav Moshe is right, that if it's not normal to cook on the surface, and it's a non-adjustable hot plate, that you can't be machata, l'chora, there is room to be mekel, that one should be able to do shahi on top of the hot plate.